I'm Rebecca Zimmerman with Arkansas Advocates for Children and Families, and today we are joined by Holly Dixon and Rizelle Aaron with the American Civil Liberties Union of Arkansas. It is an election year, and it's important to know your rights around voting. Holly and Rizelle are here to help ensure you know Arkansas's voting laws and how you can get help if you are denied your right to vote. Thank you both so much. We appreciate you being here today.
Well, you're welcome, and thank you for the invitation. Again, we're glad to be here. It's one of the best ways to get the information to the people that need it the most.
And before we dive in with my other questions, can you talk a bit about what ACLU does around voting and around elections?
Well, the ACLU of Arkansas is a 50-year organization. The national office has been around 100 years, and in addition to bringing litigation around voting and elections issues, we have consistently updated information for voters, know your rights information, how to register, what happens if you encounter problems at the polls, and we participate in and resource the largest nonpartisan, nonprofit voter protection hotline in the country, the 1-866-OUR-VOTE hotline. We provide information for them to put on their webpage, for them to put in the database, and we troubleshoot calls that come in through the voting rights hotline to help ensure that every Arkansan who's eligible to vote is able to cast their vote and have it counted.
And Rizelle, you're working on a special project around voter registration. Do you want to talk about that?
Yeah, I was going to talk about that. But yeah, this special project being sponsored by the ACLU of Arkansas, I think it's the first time it's been done here in Arkansas and maybe anywhere in the country, as far as I know, in regards to the ACLU and this type of project. But this voter registration or voter rights project that we're working on now, that I happen to be the voting rights coordinator for, we'll be reaching out to all 75 counties in Arkansas, either digitally and or in person, providing presentations and projects and programs targeting rural areas, low-income areas. But of course, it's a nonpartisan effort, and so we're going to reach out to everybody that needs the information in all of the counties. And so the objective, or part of the objective, is being able to measure the impact that this project has. And when we measure that impact, we'll have a better understanding of what we can do in the future. Hopefully, if there'll be some future projects as well, just like this one or this one, to recur. But this project will use interns and volunteers from across the state to hit as many counties as we can physically. But those, again, that we can't hit physically, we'll do digitally, whether it be social media through the ACLU's link or the ACLU's website, ACLUArkansas.org. And so that's kind of like the short summarized version of the project, but I'm sure we're going to talk a little bit more about it as we move forward.
Okay. We'll collect stories and problems at the polls and try to use that to push for legislative changes in 2021 as we have session after session to try to streamline the process and take some of the kinks and bugs out of it as well.
Okay, great. So I think in terms of voting rights in Arkansas, one big thing that voters probably think about most is around the voter ID requirement. And there seems to be some confusion about the state's voter ID requirement. Can you talk about what the law actually says and what people need to know when they go to the polls?
The law does say that every Arkansas voter needs to show a photo ID issued by the U.S. government or the state of Arkansas, and if it has an expiration date, it can't be more than 4 years expired. However, if a person does not have ID, does not wish to show ID, they can cast a provisional ballot that should count unless there's some non-ID reason not to count that ballot. Arkansans who do not have a qualifying photo identification, either because they simply do not have one or they've moved here and only have an out-of-state ID, can also get a free photo voter ID card from their county clerk's office. Each of the county clerks has a voter ID machine, and they issue identification for voters who do not have them, and that's a qualifying ID, of course.
Okay, and what is, for people who go, they don't have the voter ID from the county, and they don't have a driver's license or something like that, what is a provisional ballot? How do they fill that out? What's different?
You do you would do a provisional ballot application, and you would swear you are who you say you are. They place your ballot in an envelope. It goes to the County Board of Election Commissioners, and they are supposed to count it unless there's some non-ID reason not to count it. Now, if the voter obtains an ID or finds their ID, they could go later and show it to the clerk or the county board, but they're not required by law to have to do that. They should be permitted to cast a provisional ballot, mm-hmm. and that ballot should count unless it turns out they're not a registered voter or there's some mm-hmm. other problem with the ballot. It's best to show the ID if the person has it, so there's no question that ballot is cast. But if you do not have ID in the state and you vote without the ID, your ballot should count nonetheless. Now, we've already had some trouble this early voting cycle for the primary with voters who've had to try to insist on their provisional ballots and check with their poll captain who called the election commission and get things straightened out.
And the poll workers are required to offer a provisional ballot. And we've had an instance already, Justice Holly mentioned that, where the poll worker did not offer a provisional ballot to someone that did not have ID. Mm-hmm. And the application for a provisional ballot is basically a form statement, again, saying that I am who I say that I am. But what voters also have to be mindful of when we're out educating voters, especially with this project, is informing them to ask for the ballot. Mm-hmm. And if they can't get the ballot from the poll worker, then they need to talk to the captain of the polling location to make sure that they do not leave under any circumstances without voting. And so even if the poll worker does not offer the ballot, mm-hmm. the voter needs to know that they need to require or demand to have one.
Because if you don't know that provisional ballot's an option and you're told, no, you have to have your ID, and you just assume that that's the case, you don't know any better.
Yes.
And you don't come back.
That's certainly not true. And the reason under state law that the poll workers are to request the ID is to make sure the person looks like the person that's on the ID. It's not to verify the address or even that the name is an exact match. It's to look at the voter and look at the ID. Now, the voter ID law does also apply to absentee voters, but there is a section on the voter statement where that absentee voter can swear they are who they say they are, and it's the same process for absentee voters as it is for voters at the polls. That ballot should still count unless there's some other non-ID reason not to count it. But absentee voters, if they have a copy of their ID or can make one and they're comfortable submitting it, it's safer to do so. But if they don't, they should make sure they swear they are who they say they are and send that ballot right on in, and it should count.
And in regards to ID issues, it's one of the most common. There are several factors that influence a voter ID problem, not mm-hmm. just not having one. But for example, if you have recently gotten married or gotten married since the last time you voted, and now you have your legal name is your married name, for example, mm-hmm. But that's not what is on your ID in comparison to what they have, the poll workers have in the computer system. Mm-hmm. And so that also causes a problem. As a matter of fact, I did get one complaint already about that, where a young lady that got married and changed her name was not allowed to vote by regular ballot, but mm-hmm. she knew to vote by provisional ballot. And
is that what people need to do in that situation?
Absolutely.
If your name's changed,
yes.
Vote provisionally.
Yeah, absolutely. Right. Never leave without voting. The fact is that the poll worker have access to a centralized database, and they should be able to look up in the computer to confirm who you say you are, really based on your address and your current name, or the name that you have on your license to verify or confirm who you are. And so the poll worker has a lot of resources available to them to confirm or verify who you are before they have to push you off to a provisional ballot.
Mm-hmm. But you can change your name at the polling place. Yeah. That, you know, you do a voter change form on the registration form, and they really should have let them cast the regular ballot. But mm-hmm. if they're not going to let you cast the regular ballot, you got two choices. Go ahead and insist and cast your provisional ballot, or stop and call for help and then try to go back and vote the regular ballot later. But mm-hmm. voters should really do one of those two things, insist on the provisional ballot and cast it, or get some help. And that's the importance of early voting, so you have some time to work out kinks.
And if someone wants to get one of those special voter IDs, how do they do that? Are there documents that they need to bring with them?
No, they go to the county clerk's office and to the voter registration personnel and let them know that they want to get a voter ID card, and they'll sign a form saying, this is me, I do not have a qualifying photo ID in order to vote, and I would like the photo ID to vote, and they take their photograph and issue an ID.
Okay. So there are also, I've heard about from Disability Rights Arkansas, issues around accessibility of voting locations. Can you talk about the laws around that and what polling places are supposed to do in terms of ensuring accessibility for people with disabilities?
Yeah, the Americans with Disabilities Act has a go-by or a document that's in their website that voters can refer to understand what resources should be available to them at the polling sites. Mm-hmm. But also, poll workers are instructed on resources and accessibility for disabled voters. And there are certain things that they're supposed to provide. It's even listed in the manual. Mm-hmm. That the poll workers are trained from.
Okay.
And I understand there's at least been one polling site that was available last year that's not available this year because of the lack of accessibility to disabled people. For example, in the Election Poll Workers Manual and Resources for Visual Impairment, just as an example, mm-hmm. Magnifying glass or iVotronic touchscreen for voting with headphones, or hearing impairment, the writing pad or the iVotronic touchscreen, wheelchair, walker, cane. Also, a person with disabilities has the option of a person of their choice, at least one person that can help them to vote at the equipment.
Okay.
And if they don't have a person that can help them to vote, mm-hmm. then two poll workers can also assist them. The obvious reason for two is to make sure that one doesn't do something unethical while they're watching the disabled person to vote.
Okay.
But also another very good resource for accessibility or to allow accessibility for disabled people is absentee ballots. There's one note that I need to mention when we talk about absentee ballots for disabled people or absentee ballots in general, mm-hmm. that's come up in this special election for House District 34. And that is that if the signature is not closely enough, is not close enough to their original signature,
mm-hmm.
Then the election commission, a majority of the commission, can reject that absentee ballot. And then the absentee ballot, the people that voted by absentee ballot, are not, the commission is not required to notify them that their vote didn't count until after the election, and then they'll send a notice to the person saying that their absentee ballot was rejected.
Is it automatic that they don't do it till after the election, or is that like an option that they can wait till after the election, but they could do it before the election?
We were in the last meeting that we had with the Pulaski County Election Commission, for example, regarding the District 34 race. The attorney for the Election Commission basically said, and he's probably correct in this, that if a law or a statute does not state what you're required to do, that you can't ad lib, for lack of a better way to put it, you can't mm-hmm. create process where there is none. And so in this case of absentee ballots, although it does not tell the Election Commission they cannot notify the voter in advance of the certification of the election, mm-hmm. It does not say that they have to. And so basically the guidance, legal guidance for the Election Commission in this instance was that they could not go back and review absentee ballots. And here's what I thought was just terrible to me. One of the voters that voted by absentee ballot came in person to that Election Commission meeting and did make a statement in public comment that she believed she was being disenfranchised. because they did not notify her that her ballot was rejected, and they did not have a process to allow the ballot to be corrected. And so that's one thing, an absentee ballot, again, when we're talking about disabled people and voting, because one of the persons that voted by absentee ballot has Parkinson's. Mm-hmm. And imagine a Parkinson's person trying to make their signature today match their signature from last year or the year before last. And so those are some factors that have to be considered for people with disabilities that are voting by absentee ballot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And if you are a person with a disability and you get turned away from your polling place for any reason, or the polling place isn't accessible to you, Disability Rights Arkansas specializes in that specific issue, and that you can call them at 800-482-1174.
So the polling places are to be accessible, the machines or voting equipment are to be accessible, but a lot of times, especially with older voters, if you wait till election day, the line can get kind of long, and you know, long varies depending on our physical capability. So a voter who is not able, or it's taxing on them to stand in line for the period of time it's going to take, can go talk to poll workers and not have to stand in line.
Okay, that's important for people to know, so they can sit down but keep their place in line.
Oh, they move to the front of the line.
Oh, okay.
Yes, the guidance for the poll workers that's laid out in their little manual is that a voting privacy booth for voters with disabilities advance to the front of the line upon request. And so a voter can let the vote, the poll worker should let the voter know that they have the option of moving to the front of the line if they're having difficulties with because of their disabilities.
Okay, that sounds important to know.
Another
big issue that we've been hearing a lot about nationally over the past few years is also voting rights for felons, for people who've had a felony conviction. What are the laws here in Arkansas around that?
The Arkansas Constitution, Amendment 51, Section 11, allows people to have their right to vote restored after a felony conviction. You get proof that you have been discharged from probation or parole and have paid the legal financial obligations, the court fines, fees, and costs, and you can re-register once you have the signatures and information showing that you've paid. Of course, the legal financial obligations are a barrier for a lot of people. Those people can go to the criminal court and ask that the fines be waived due to, you know, financial circumstances or whatnot. But we started encountering issues over a decade ago with county clerks who didn't know the Arkansas Constitution allowed you to re-register after a felony conviction. And I'm proud to say at this time, all the clerks know about that process and procedure. And we've handed out, distributed rights information about Arkansas law for many years, but we still encounter a lot of people who just think once you have a felony conviction, your right to vote is forever gone, and that is simply not true. There is a process in the state of Arkansas.
And I've heard in other states, people who, you know, had served their time, got out, registered to vote, in their state, not in Arkansas, but in whatever state they were in, they got in trouble for registering to vote because that state laws were different, but that's not the case in Arkansas.
You know, one of the things about the Arkansas ACLU in specific is that they're on the leading edge of providing voter information and voter rights to voters in Arkansas. And so when we talk about voting issues, they're so, and I'm not just saying this because Holly's sitting in next to me, but ACLU Arkansas, they're so good at what they do in voter rights that they offer an opportunity where if you're standing at the polling site and you have a problem, you can reach out to the ACLU of Arkansas, or you can dial the 1-866-OUR-VOTE number. Mm-hmm. But also we've partnered now with Arkansas United in this voter rights project that we're working on. And Arkansas United, and I'll get that number in before we are finished, but Arkansas United offers Hispanic voters or people that use English as a second language the opportunity to call their office, which is located over in Southwest Little Rock, mm-hmm. so they can call on the spot to get help with voter rights and voter information. And that's one of the things that I think is so critical about this project the ACLU of Arkansas is sponsoring, because we're developing partnerships with other organizations to the degree or on the level that has not been done before in Arkansas. Mm-hmm. And so we're going to be able to reach out to a broad area of or demographics of voters simply because we have built that partnership and relationship mm-hmm. with organizations like Arkansas United. When you talk about felon rights, mm-hmm. I'd also like to mention, because I think that it is important, that people that are currently in jail that have not appeared at court, have not been convicted of a felony offense, or may be in jail serving a sentence for a misdemeanor offense, can vote by absentee ballot. And so I think that that's one piece to this voter rights project mm-hmm. That is absolutely needed, because not very many, if any, people understand that just because you're locked up or because your loved one is locked up in jail, that they don't have an opportunity to vote. And it goes to, again, accessibility, mm-hmm. them being able to vote by absentee ballot. And this project is going to partner with sheriff's offices, hopefully across the state. Holly and I met with the Pulaski County Sheriff Eric Higgins this week, mm-hmm. and he has agreed to allow us to come in with this project during the visitation room, set up a table to just pass out information for people that need information about voting, but also to allow us some other options to be able to access the inmates to provide them with the information they need to vote by absentee ballot. Mm-hmm. And so that's another piece of this project, again, in regards to partnership, that I think is critical to people that need the access and need to be able to vote.
I would assume most people in the state aren't aware of that.
Yeah. Yeah, they can vote by absentee. It's just that nobody's really ever talked about that issue, and I suspect never asked to vote even mm-hmm. though they're in jail. But they've not lost their right to vote because they're accused of a crime. You had a question too about whether if you move from one state to another, you have to cancel your original state registration. And the answer to that is no. There's no law that requires you to cancel your registration in one state before you move to the new state. It's a better practice to cancel it because Arkansas participates in that Interstate Voter Cross-Check Program, which was the brainchild of Chris Kobach in Kansas. And it'll catch where there are duplicate mm-hmm. registrations around the country, and it could be used to purge a person from the voting rolls. But our state attorney general was registered in another state, registered in Arkansas, voted, and, you know, nothing was unlawful about that. Embarrassing, perhaps, but not unlawful.
And just the thing I with that question that I was, the point I was trying to make is you hear news stories about felons trying to vote in different states, but if you are a felon, don't assume that the news stories you hear that happen in Texas or North Carolina or whatever is the situation here in Arkansas, because the laws are different from each state. And so just because a law happens in Texas does not mean that's the law in Arkansas here around felon voting rights.
And we also have to make voters aware, people that have been convicted of felony offenses, to make them aware that, for example, some people are sentenced to a year in jail for a felony conviction. Let's say they spend that year in jail, but nobody comes back and says you can't vote anymore, and then they go to the polls and vote, and they may not be able to, the poll workers may not be able to catch that or know that that person should not be able to vote, mm-hmm. which is one of the things that came up in Texas. I think that might have been the case that you were alluding to a little while ago, where an African-American female voted and was prosecuted and sentenced to prison. some convicted felons may not know that they don't have the right to vote until mm-hmm. they've met the requirements of being reinstated or voting, having their voting rights reinstated. And so that's another piece that we have to push in the county jails, but also with the Arkansas Department of Corrections, that convicted felons know and have the information when and when they cannot vote. Mm-hmm. And I believe Holly did an excellent job explaining the process and getting those voting rights back.
Mm-hmm. And they can call you if they have more specific questions about their situation.
Yes, and we have on our webpage, Know Your Rights, Having Your Vote Restored After a Felony mm-hmm. Conviction. There was not a standard form in the state of Arkansas that a person could take to their parole officer or to the place that they've been paying their fines to have them sign the form. And so we created a form, and that form has been in use, and many of the clerks in Arkansas use that form now. And it's not a required form, but it just shows an example of what, you know, what they need to fill out for you. But whenever we've assisted voters in having their right restored, the parole officers have been very willing to make sure that the person has what they need, and then they take it to the clerk and re-register. It's good to keep that information in case they should ever need it again. But mm-hmm. we'd be happy to assist voters who have questions or trouble with that.
Yeah, and voters in Arkansas have several ways that they can reach out to get questions answered. And this may be a good time for that, and that is, of course, going to acluarkansas.org. They can go to the website, but also they can call 866-OUR-VOTE, which is an 866 voter hotline. But also for those voters that may have Spanish as their first and English as their second language, they can call Arkansas United at 479-347-2822. And of course they can shoot me an email if that's what they want to do. I'm very accessible mm-hmm. as well, and that's simply Rizelle, Rizelle at acluarkansas.org. And in the near future, we're also going to have a dedicated line at ACLU to allow people to call specifically for voting purposes.
Okay, great. Yeah. And just a few more questions. Since we're in the middle of a primary election, what are the laws around independent voters voting in the primary?
Independent voters can vote in the primary, and they can vote in either of the partisan primaries or in the nonpartisan primary. Arkansas is not a state that requires you to register with a party as a voter. And most Arkansans are registered as independent voters. You know, I think only the true partisan, you know, people actually register associated with a particular party. But regardless of how you are registered, you can, when you go to the polls, you can either vote in the Democratic primary election, the Republican primary election, or you can ask for a nonpartisan ballot to vote in judicial races. And now if there happens to be a runoff, then you have to vote in the same primary that you voted in, you know, mm-hmm. for the primary election itself. But we have open primaries, and so people can choose whichever ballot they want. They can pull up their sample ballot on Voter View and decide what they want to do before they get to the polling place.
Okay. And are there other common questions or concerns that you get from voters that we didn't talk about?
Sometimes we get questions, or I've gotten questions involving absentee ballots for military personnel. We've got service members that are serving all across the world, as your listeners, I'm sure your listeners know. But military personnel may not know that they have a website. The military has a website that's dedicated specifically for military personnel that are voting by absentee ballot. Mm-hmm. And so the question sometimes comes up is a basic question. I'm in the military. I'm serving in Afghanistan. How can I vote? And the simple answer to that is to apply for an absentee ballot, get the mm-hmm. absentee ballot, and follow the instructions on the ballot and send back in to your county clerk's office.
How far in advance do you have to submit a absentee ballot? I assume if you live in Afghanistan, it would be, you need to get it in sooner.
It has to be postmarked by the date of the election. and the Election Commission, for example, the Election Commission in this House District 34 race, they allow 10 additional days for absentee ballots to be received after the election date. And so if all of the ballots are received on the election date, then of course there's no question about it.
Mm-hmm.
But if they were, but if they're not received and they know how many ballot, absentee ballots they have out, then they have 10 days into which to allow those ballots to come in for those ballots to be counted.
And that's for every county?
That's for military and overseas voters, the 10 days.
Right.
For voters who vote absentee who are not military or overseas, they have to be in to the county clerk by close of business.
Right, thank you.
On election day.
And that's just for Pulaski County, the rules?
Statewide.
Oh, statewide.
Yeah,
okay.
For the absentee ballots that are local, mm-hmm. so to speak. One of the things, a military absentee ballot decided House 34 race. And it came in, I think, about 6 or 7 days after. But it was that's how important military absentee ballots are. Every vote should count, and that's the reason that every vote should count, because it changes or determines the outcome of any election. And that one military absentee ballot broke a tie in this race, in the District 34 race.
We have almost every county in Arkansas now has updated their voting equipment since 2016. And with new equipment, sometimes comes problems, but also in order to be able to afford new equipment, a lot of the counties closed some of their polling places and moved to vote centers where no matter where you live in the county, whatever your precinct is, you can vote at any vote center, which is super. Love vote centers. It make it easier for people to vote. The concern is that we've had closures of polling places, and voters should get a postcard from their clerk about the change in polling place. But that's why we encourage people to check their registration and their polling place information in advance.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't get caught up going where you've always voted and suddenly it's not that polling place anymore, and you're having to call the hotline and find out where's my polling place and
mm-hmm.
things of that nature.
And it's not difficult to find out and make sure your voter information is correct. I always encourage people at least once a year to check to make sure the information is accurate. They've got a VoterView website. They can go to
just Google
votepulaski.net. They can go to the Secretary of State's website, which is VoterView.
Mm-hmm.
But they can basically just internet Google search, and they can be able or have, and Pulaski County, they have one of the better access to voting sites. Because you can go there and click on the little link that says voter information or check your voter registration, and you can in Pulaski County, and you can just put your information in, name and date of birth, and boom, you see your information.
Mm-hmm.
And if there's a problem, there's a number there that says call this number, and you know to fix it. And so it's easy to fix. One of the problems, or the biggest problem in voting in Arkansas, probably in anywhere in the U.S., is people having the information.
Mm-hmm.
Bottom line.
Yep, it's not that difficult to vote. Most problems can be overcome. If folks want the webpage information for Pulaski County voters, it's votepulaski.net, and the VoterView page is voterview.org, O-R-G.
Any final thoughts for our listeners that you want to make sure that they know about as they head to the polls?
Well, again, I just want to thank you for this opportunity, because the more we reach out and participate in programs such as yours, the better opportunity we have of getting the information to the people that need the information here in Arkansas. And so I would encourage those that are listening to this show that if you want to find out, or if you want to know more about voter rights or voter information, to reach out, go visit the websites, or to call ACLU, the hotline, 866-OUR-VOTE, and get the information that you need. We're always accessible and we're ready to give the information. ACLU, again, leading edge on information when it talks about materials for voting rights. And we've got a whole lot of these materials. And so we're ready. Thank you again for the opportunity.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's an honor and a privilege to get to work on voting and elections issues and to be here with you today. And if anybody has energy and wants to get involved in helping saturate our state and make sure everybody has what they need so that they can cast their ballot, please let us know. Thank you.
Well, thank you both so much. And we mentioned several organizations. One more, if you would like their number too, is the NAACP Legal Defense Fund's Election Protection Line, and that's 866-687-8683. Thank you both so much for joining us today.
You're
we appreciate
welcome.
It.
Thank you.